Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
And welcome to the Good News Show, and thank you for tuning in. Happy New Year to you, the first show of the new year, and we are back in the saddle and back at it, and glad to have you with us. It's also the Epiphany, although I think most of us celebrated yesterday. I know I did at our parish, so happy Epiphany to you, and again, welcome back. We've got a lot to talk about in this program today, and first off, I'm going to talk to Cecil about car raffle. Which you probably know, the car raffle season has started for here at the GRN. We were at four different parishes this past weekend. We've got four parishes scheduled this weekend. We've got two live remotes this week. And so we are in full gear. So we'll give you a little update about that. And also in the second half of the program, I'm so delighted, we're going to have the recipient of the 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Award, a gentleman by the name of Hank Herman. And he is very synonymous with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, especially their pharmacy. And starting that up, which basically they allow people who otherwise wouldn't have a prescription medication to get it because they don't have money or don't have jobs or what have you. But that's just one of the many things that Hank has done. So he's going to be honored at the 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Dinner on Saturday, February 22nd. He's going to be in studio along with the communication director of the Catholic Foundation. Bill Kula is going to be here with us as well. That's the second half of the show. And in about 5 minutes, I'm going to introduce you to two folks from the Diocese of Fort Worth who are heading up the Safe Environment program for the diocese. And what we're going to talk about in particular is a human trafficking awareness initiative that has begun, something that Bishop Michael Olson takes very seriously. In fact, you know, some of these statistics are alarming. 2,373 human trafficking reports were received by the National Human Trafficking Hotline from Texas alone in 2023. Dallas-Fort Worth is the second worst metroplex in the state of Texas. And so this is a hotbed. And so we're going to kind of filter through, you know, what's the hype and what you maybe some of the things you've heard that may not be true, but also what you do need to know about, and also some upcoming sessions that they're having. They've already had one at Nolan Catholic High School that was very successful, where they go and present and have experts to come and talk about this issue, human trafficking, and what you need to know to keep yourself and probably more importantly your children safe in this day and age. So I'm going to have Sandra Ferry. She's director of the Safe Environment Program for the Diocese of Fort Worth, along with her assistant Pat McGrail, who served 30 years as a police officer in the city of Hearst, Texas. And so he has a lot of experience in law enforcement. So they're coming up here in just a moment. Before that, Cecil Anderson, we had a busy weekend. And I know you were at St. John the Apostle in North Richland Hills.
I was.
On the very balmy last night.
Yes.
Windy, and what a crazy evening it was. But what was your experience? And we thank Father Jack McCone for allowing us to go on out there. But how was it for you?
It was wonderful. I've always enjoyed getting to go to St. John the Apostle, and despite it being, you know, a very cold night, there was a good turnout of folks out coming for Mass, and then several people stopped by a table, bought tickets, and chatted with me. I remember one lady, she bought a ticket, and she's like, oh, I probably won't win, but I'm supporting something that I love, which I thought was a very good, I said, that's a great mindset to have. I said, but I did tell her, I said, you know, everyone who wins this car has said that they never win anything.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Not going to win.
I mean, statistically speaking, she's right.
But she's,
I mean,
right, yeah. But she
probably won't win.
She had a good attitude,
yeah,
that she just wanted to support something she loved.
But
so,
somehow saying you probably won't win doesn't not the warm fuzzies they want to hear. But I always like to say, hey, somebody's got to win, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like you said, there's,
exactly. You never know.
And so I was out at St. Joseph Parish in Waxahachie for the Saturday evening Mass. Father James Yamauchi, we appreciate him so much allowing us to come out there. But they always have on the Saturday closest to the Epiphany a chili cook-off. kickoff event, and I got to be the MC. And they have three other Knights of Columbus that dress up like the wise men, and they are the judges. And so it was. I brought my daughter out there, and we got to sell tickets at the end of the 5 o'clock mass, and then also kind of participate in the chili cookoff, which was really great. And Sunday morning, I wasn't there, but one of our volunteers sold 50 tickets to one lady. She bought $1,000 worth of tickets from St. Joseph. I'm sure you had a couple of those too, right, Cecil?
Oh, yeah. I always get one every weekend, I think.
And Thompson Terry is our Fort Worth general manager. He also visited North Richland Hills, St. John the Apostle. Any anecdote or how'd it go for you, Tom?
Yeah, there was one guy that was kind of flexing muscle saying that he would be the winner. So I said, you know, good luck. I hope that you are. But he was already calling it.
Mm-hmm. Great. So do we still sell some more tickets, or do we?
We did sell
okay.
tickets.
Okay. No, yeah. I was going to say, now that we got the winner, I mean,
do we need to? No.
Just call off the raffle, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for going out there,
sure.
Thompson Terry. And we also were at St. Jude Chapel in downtown Dallas. And so thanks to Father Stephen Bershank and also Tino, the assistant there, for allowing us to come on out. And Holy Family of Nazareth Parish. We went out there for all the masses there. And Father Dan Casa, thank you. Father Eugene O'Donnell, who was part of our live remote on Saturday, said most of the masses yesterday and on Saturday as well. And so we appreciate them very much allowing us to come out. This weekend, All Saints Parish in Dallas, Mary Immaculate Parish and Farmers Branch, Holy Cross in the Colony, and Holy Cross in Dallas. And
oh,
so
wow.
We're going to be heavy on the Holy Cross this weekend.
If you go to a Holy Cross, we are likely going to be there.
I think those are the only two in the Metroplex, right. And the last thing I want to say is that tomorrow, during the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be at, and I always get the name of this wrong, is it
Charlie's Creole Kitchen.
Charlie's Creole Kitchen over in East Dallas. Jim Hickey's the owner. 2 o'clock hour. He always gives a $100 gift certificate away for some good old Cajun food. So we're looking forward to that. And then also 9 o'clock hour on Friday, we're going to be at Little Angels Catholic Store in Coppell. So mark your calendar for those. All right. Well, let's get on to our first topic. It's a serious topic, but it's one that I know our guests say that everybody needs to know about this. And so you can listen now. You can also come to some of their events that are coming up. And my guest, as I mentioned, Sandra Ferry, the Director of Safe Environment for the Diocese of Fort Worth, and also the Assistant Director of Safe Environment, Pat McGrail, 30 years police officer for the city of Hearst, joining us here. And I do want to also thank John Cuccaro, who's Director of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of Fort Worth, because he suggested this interview, and I'm so grateful for that. John's here taking some pictures. So you might see this in maybe their newspaper or something, these pictures from the interview. But welcome to both of you, and thank you for being here to talk about this important topic.
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity, and Happy New Year.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany to you as well.
Thank you as well.
So the Diocese of Fort Worth Human Trafficking Awareness Initiative, and I know in speaking to you, Sandra, before we went on the air, you said this is something that Bishop Olson finds very important. Of course, it falls in your area of safe environment. So can you kind of give us an overview of what this initiative is, why it's so important, and why do people need to be paying attention to this topic?
Absolutely. Thank you. And you what you said was on target and key. This is a very important initiative, very important to Bishop Olson. Under his leadership and guidance, we created the initiative with the primary mission and goal to inform, educate, and equip our community in each of our parishes and our schools and our high schools to provide them with the tools so that they can understand what is human trafficking. Mm-hmm. What does that entail? And because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And then what to look for, the signs and the symptoms to look for. And then when they do see something, who do they say something to?
Yeah.
How do you report it? So we felt like those things were really important for us to share with each of our schools, each of our parishes, and really our community as a whole. And as you mentioned earlier, we're second in the state of Texas only to Houston, and second in the United States only to California. The problem is here. It's a local problem. It's a national problem as well.
Is there something about Texas in particular? I know you told me that Houston being so close to the Gulf, that's you know, a lot of people traveling through. But what is it about North Texas that makes our area such a hot spot for this?
Well, I think part of the reason that we're rife for it here is because of the passageways that come through the DFW area. Mm-hmm. We're right on the I-35 corridor. You know, we have many, many large events here. We have football stadiums. We have baseball stadiums. We have lots of events here that attract lots of crowds and a lot of people. And where you find those types of events, you will often find human trade, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about human trade, there's various kinds of it. I know, Pat, you had mentioned labor trafficking. Typically, people think of sex trafficking. Well, that's at least the thing that first pops into my mind. I typically think of, you know, children, like that Jim Caviezel movie that came out recently. Maybe you can comment on that as well. But what are the different types of trafficking, and what are the most common?
The two main aspects of human trafficking involve the labor trafficking, as Pat was talking about earlier, which is a prevalent problem here in Texas, as well as sex trafficking and the sex trade, and how that involves often children, minors under the age of 18, and what we might have at some point called prostitution, and we realize that a child under the age of 18 can't give consent to being sold.
Mm-hmm.
Where it becomes such an issue for us, and certainly also in the Metroplex, is when you think about the logistics of human trafficking, and you think about the fact that, you know, drugs, guns can be bought and sold once. Humans can mm-hmm. be bought and sold over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it such a major industry and such a major trade.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just ask you, and then I'm going to go to Pat, especially with his experience as a police officer for so many decades. But how does it typically happen? Let's just talk about sex trafficking in particular, and let's talk about children, because I think that's what most of us, you know, I have an 11-year-old son, and a lot of people listening right now have grandchildren and children. And is it, you know, the van without the windows driving around that, you know, pulls up to schools and grabs kids and throws them in the back, and or you know, at the grocery store, if you lose track of your child, they might get nabbed. What should people realistically be looking for, and maybe some of the myths that you can dispel as well about maybe things that people have heard that are not typically the case?
That's such a great question. And I think we think about the van of the 80s and the 90s, the white van that, you know, is kind of going incognito and snatching kids off the street. If you think about how those things happen in human trafficking, and what we need to be most concerned about is our telephone. It's the smartphones that many of our kids very early on have access to. And in a program that I'll certainly be happy to talk about a little bit later, and we had speakers that came and talked about how are these things happening. The experts were telling us how these things are happening is that smartphone is the van of this decade.
Mm.
That is how the human trafficking or human traffickers often get access to our children. It's reaching out to them, forming friendships with them, and performing grooming activity right over the telephone.
And lying about their age, perhaps, and they
exactly.
think they're talking to a teenager, and they're just having this conversation, or...
Right, they may think they're talking to someone on a gaming app
yeah.
across town, and it's someone that's sitting in their mother's basement at the age of 60,
mm-hmm.
trolling the web for their next victim. So
yeah.
there's a lot of misinformation, as you pointed out a while ago. You know, there's a lot of misinformation that's out there, and I think that's what's scary and why we need to really kind of shine a light on this topic is that, for instance, my daughter said to me, how that often happens is that the traffickers will lay under a person's car and wait for them to come out from the restaurant or come out from the grocery store or come out from shopping at Target. And they sweep at their feet and they grab them and snatch them and put them in a van. Well, that's not what we're dealing with, and that's not how it happens. It's much more subtle than that. So, of course, we need to keep an eye on our kids and keep them safe. And when we're at the grocery store, you know, we don't naturally let them out of our sight if they're small children. But the problem is much more subtle than that. The problem happens when they interact, as you pointed out, on an app or in a gaming situation, or they're having a chat with someone whom they think they might know, but they've only met over the internet and don't really have any understanding about. So those much more subtle things are the things we need to be most concerned with, and that's really the scariest.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like awareness is key for parents, especially if their kids do have smartphones, to know what they're doing, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Sandra Ferry is Director of Safe Environment for the Diocese of Fort Worth, and they are putting on a number of town halls. They've already had one very successful one at Nolan High School, which we can talk about, but more are coming up as well. FWDIOC.org/townhallinitiative, I think is the website. I think you can find that at the General Fort Worth website. The Assistant Director of Safe Environment is Pat McGrail, and thank you for coming in as well, Pat. Nice to meet you.
Thank you as well.
So you're obviously working closely with Sandra, and you bring 30 years of experience as a police officer, which I'm sure is invaluable in the work that you're doing. How has that experience helped you, and how did you get into this particular field and working for the Fort Worth Diocese?
Well, thank you. As far as entering this field, Sandra had some good conversations, realized that I had a skill set that would be of value to the diocese, and after some conversations decided that there would be some benefit in my experience and what I've done in the past. In regards to the human trafficking, I think we've covered the basics. One of the things that is most helpful is my background is also in digital and forensics. Looking at a lot of the trafficking, we talk about the force, the coercion, the threat, or the threat of force being used. And when we're dealing with youth and young adults, that's kind of the primary focus that we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a level of trust that's gained, and as Sandra had said, and you've shared as well, is we don't know who's on the other end of that phone, the other end of that device, that tablet, that gaming platform, how those conversations begin. And towards the end of my career, as this became even more prevalent in the Metroplex, I began seeing more and more cases where there was that grooming phase taking place through digital electronics, where that trust was being gained, those relationships were being formed, and then that would almost at times turn into almost an extortion.
Mm.
So there's a lot of things that we look at where, you know, the first thing we can do is really focus on education, both for the kids, young adults, so that they recognize those signs, they raise those red flags, they ask those questions to a trusted adult or parent or guardian. And we also want the adults in the community, the educators, the parents, others within the parish to recognize those signs. So if they see behavior or they see interactions that don't appear to be consistent with, you know, what's expected in a healthy relationship or conversation, that they can address those or bring those to someone's attention that can deal with that. So, It's a really good program. There's a lot of misconceptions out there. I think a lot of people don't realize what trafficking is. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, we're dealing with manipulating youth. We're dealing with sex trafficking and labor trafficking. So there's many different levels, and they, of course, compound. And typically they kind of bleed over one into the other. So it's really important that you try and identify it early in the process and arm the parents and children with the knowledge that they need to help identify and prevent them from becoming a victim.
Yeah, well, thank you for that information. You know, at the beginning, I mentioned the Sound of Freedom movie, the Jim Caviezel one. I'm sure you all saw that. At the beginning, they showed this like real-life video montage of, you know, cars pulling up and grabbing a child or somebody at a mall. And it sounds to me like you're both saying that those, although that does happen, that's more of the exception than the rule. Typically, it's more, like you say, Pat, a grooming process, which I guess in a sense, you never want to let your guard down, but you know, we don't have to be so paranoid to think that there's somebody lurking around every corner that's just ready to grab our child or pull them off the playground or something like that. Would that be the case? Is be vigilant, but don't drive yourself crazy thinking that there's somebody lurking around every corner.
And of course, vigilance is the most important thing, is be aware of our surroundings and those we interact with. And the myth, and I think from what we've seen in the movies of the past is, you know, the van, as we've talked about. It's not saying it doesn't exist. It's a, like you said, it's the exception rather than the rule. I think people need to be vigilant in general. And this is just another area in which we just need to be aware. And I think when we're educated and we arm ourselves with that knowledge, then we can identify it before it becomes an issue.
All right. Thank you so much. Pat McGrail, again, Assistant Director of Safe Environment for the Fort Worth Diocese. We're talking about the Human Trafficking Awareness Initiative. The director of that program is Sandra Ferry. And Sandra, let me go back to you. You had the one event over at Nolan, and you had some really top-notch speakers at that. And can you tell us about that event and what came out of it, what kind of response you got, and also what's planned for 2025?
Absolutely. The event was a blessing, and how it came together was a true blessing. We had the Assistant Attorney General, Brody Burks, there. Pardon me. We also had Lindy Borchardt, the ADA for Tarrant County. We had two of the members of the Human Trafficking Task Force from Tarrant County, both the commander as well as Detective Maria Arand. And we had Unbound Now, which is a group here in North Texas that helps directly with education about human trafficking for the children, as well as adults. They go into the juvenile systems here in Tarrant County and provide information about how to protect yourself from human trafficking. And then they also deal directly with the victims or survivors of human trafficking and provide direct services for them, and have a location in Fort Worth that provides daytime, you know, respite and shelter for kiddos or runaways that are maybe in situations where they would be most vulnerable to human trafficking. So that event was fantastic. We had a good showing. We had a lot of people come with an interest in asking questions about what does human trafficking actually look like? You know, is it what we see on television? Is it what we see in the movies? And how can we as parents become more aware about what threats are out there? And, you know, having an understanding of, as you pointed out, we don't need to be so worried that we're afraid to leave our doors, our house. But we do need to be mindful of what that situation looks like, and how to be aware of where our kids are going on the internet. You know, how are they using the social media apps? Are they making friendships with people that they otherwise wouldn't meet and may have no contact with and really know nothing about? So there's various aspects to that. So that was kind of our kickoff. At that point, we also shared that we're going to be taking this initiative. Our next step for the initiative is to take it to the kids themselves, to take it to our teenagers in both of our high schools, in Cassata as well as Nolan, and that starts this month. So that's a true blessing, and Unbound is partnering with us in order to be able to provide that training for our children. Our plan is to move that forward to other schools, to our religious education programs throughout the diocese, and then moving it on to the middle school age children. So really they become kind of rife for that at the age of 12 when they're on their phones.
Yeah.
So that is information that we're planning to roll out to them.
What's the advice for parents? Either one of you can jump in on this. As far as, let's just say somebody has a 13, 14-year-old daughter or son, and they got a phone and they got access. What can a parent do to check to make sure none of this stuff is going on? Pat, do you want to answer that? Or what kind of safeguards? Or are there any kind of apps that can be put on a phone to alert you on any kind of conversation the kids are having? What should parents do?
No, certainly. I think the primary thing is going to be to educate your children before you provide them with that device, whether that be an iPhone, an iPad, a tablet, any type of music device, because even a gaming system has the ability to communicate. And a lot of parents need to be educated themselves. I've been surprised to see how many adults don't realize that communication can and does take place through a gaming platform. So I think part of what we're trying to do is educate the parents as well. You know, these are the things that we need to be aware of so that we can educate our children. So I think educating the children is the primary. Beyond that, there's a variety of applications, filters, blocking software that you can easily locate with a little bit of research. So There's too many out there to recommend one in particular, but install those applications. Educate your child, arm them with the knowledge they need to be safe with those devices, and then you can follow up with additional layers of protection with the filters and the software.
Mm-hmm. It's clear that there's a lot of organization on the side of like what's happening in the Fort Worth Diocese, I'm sure local police departments. What, Pat, is going on? How organized is the preventative measures to try to stop this before it happens from the law enforcement angle? What's going on there at federal, state, city level? What's the defense to try to prevent this from happening in the first place?
Well, I think as we work through it, there's educational programs in place, from the federal level all the way down to local, your municipal levels. But it's trying to reach out to those families, to those parents, to those children. And a lot of those are programs within the schools, town hall type forums like we're having. But it's just getting that word out to people to share that message. As far as, moving beyond that, there's been changes in legislation. There's been specific, just as Sandra had mentioned, Ms. Borchardt, one of the ADAs that specifically focuses on human trafficking cases. So the district attorneys have taken the initiative to assign specific prosecutors that have knowledge in that area to address those so that there are consequences. In addition, Sheriff Wayburn, when he came to Tarrant County, one of his first initiatives was to form the Human Trafficking Task Force, which is in partnership with the Fort Worth Police Department. So we're starting to see that when Sheriff took office and when our new DA took office, they took the initiative to put these programs in place. So we're starting to see that at all levels.
All right. Thank you very much. And Sandra, would it be safe to say because of the prevalence of social media and iPhones that this is a bigger problem than it was 50 years ago or 30 years ago because of that factor? You can answer that. And then we have about 4 minutes remaining. I want to make sure that anything else that you want to say, I don't want you walking out of here saying, gosh, I wish you had asked me this question.
Thanks.
So go ahead and just take the time this is becoming more prevalent. And then anything else you want to add to it?
So I think human trafficking and human bondage have been a problem since humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's taking a different form now. It's taking a different, it's taking different shape, which is harder to detect, I believe, because of the invention of the internet and because of the invention of the devices that our kids love. I know that as parents, we often struggle with trying this application or understanding how my phone works. For our kids, it's second nature to them. So it's that device helps them with so many different things, but can also, provide a hindrance and cause all kinds of problems. But it has changed shape. I would say that we deal with labor trafficking, as Pat pointed out. We deal with sex trafficking now, and we deal with rings that span more than just a country, that span all over the world, and how that then connects with other illicit problems like the production of child pornography. So, the scourge of this issue is widespread and far reaching, but it changes shapes. And so I think we have to be ever mindful and ever vigilant for that reason. One of the things that I wanted to share is, as you pointed out on the diocese website, fwdioc.org, we try to provide the most up-to-date information about what information we have out there as far as the sessions that we have. We have another one coming up on February the 1st at St. Joseph Parish in Arlington for Spanish speakers. And it's going to be the same type of town hall meeting that we had earlier at Nolan that we mentioned. And we'll continue to do this, and we'll continue to kind of build on this basic information, providing then more details about apps that are available to help with that monitoring that Pat mentioned earlier. But really the best remedy that I could say and the best thing that we could do as parents, the best thing that we can do, as members of our community, is to forge those relationships and to strengthen those relationships with our own children and with those that are whose care we're entrusted with.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're an educator, whether we are, someone that's volunteering, making sure that we monitor those relationships and forge those relationships and kind of give examples of what those healthy boundaries look like and what they should be expecting from other safe adults. And making sure that we stay tuned in to what's going on in their lives. If there's a drastic shift in one direction or another, it may not mean that they're being victimized. It may mean that there's something else going on in their lives. So any kind of drastic shift, I think, needs to be paid attention to. And as we talk about in safe environment and, you know, kind of back to the white van issue, over 93% of the time that a child is sexually abused, and I'm not just talking about human trafficking, but in general, over 93% of the time that a child is sexually abused, it's by someone that they know and have a relationship with. Whether that's familial, which is more than 60% of the time, or someone that they know, which is more than 60% of the time, could be a relative, it could be a neighbor, it could be someone that they know from an out-of-school activity. So, you know, making sure that we understand where our kids are, what are they going through, what kind of relationships are they forming, who are they friends with, and just keeping that line of communication open. And that is really the biggest piece of this, is keeping that open line of communication, knowing that they can talk with you, knowing that they're going to be heard and that they're going to be believed, and that they're going to be understood. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that we, each and every one of us, can do.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just general good parenting advice in general, even beyond this issue, is just get to know your kids, talk to them, be, you know, be aware of what's going on in their life. And I appreciate both of you. Pat, anything else real quickly? We just have about 30 seconds.
No, real quick, one thing that we didn't touch on, you know, just to point out, one of the efforts of the initiative is Sandra had spent time working with the providers we mentioned earlier to actually put on a session and conduct a day training for all of the educators within the Fort Worth Diocese school system.
Okay.
So we've equipped all of our educators with this information as well.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's very important. Well, thanks to you both. I've been speaking to Sandra Ferry and also Pat McGrail. They are the director and the assistant director of the human of the Safe Environment program at the Fort Worth Diocese, and very important information. If anybody wants more information, you can find it on the Fort Worth Diocese website, fwdioc.org, fwdioc.org. Thanks to both of you. Thanks also to John Cocaro. Keep the interviews coming, John. Anything that is important to the Fort Worth Diocese, especially now that we've got our new stations out in Fort Worth, 1140 AM KCPP, and 101.5 FM in Cleburne as well. And I didn't mention, we also have in studio Alma Garcia, Safe Environment Coordinator, and they're going to be hopping over into the Spanish studio next, and she's going to be translating this information on a program on our KJON station as well. So we appreciate you doing that as well, and welcome Alma as well. All right, we're going to take a break, and as I mentioned a moment ago, we are going to be talking in the second half of the program to Hank Herman. He is going to be the recipient of the 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Award at the Anatole Hotel in Dallas on Saturday, February 22nd. Everybody is, we hope everybody will be there. I'm going to be there. I know Sissel will be as well. And hopefully you will. We're going to introduce you to Hank Herman. Also, Bill Kula, the communication director, is here as well. So quick break. We'll be back with that right after a moment here on the Good News Show.
Begin 2025 by paying it forward. Just purchase a GRN car raffle ticket for a friend or family member, and on Friday, February 21st, one lucky family member or friend could be driving away in a 2025 Polar White Mercedes-Benz GLB 250. To get your keys and support the mission of evangelization, just call 1-888-784-3476 or text RAFFLE to 345-345.
Are you turning 65 soon or already on Medicare and looking for a plan to fit your needs? My name is Michelle Vina, a new sponsor of this station. I own Morningstar 65, which is dedicated to helping Catholics get the best out of their Medicare plans. My husband Kevin and I have been blessed with 8 children and are active members of St. Mary the Virgin Parish in Arlington. You can find information about Morningstar 65 and the services available online at morningstar65.com. That's morningstar65.com.
Mary Immaculate is an award-winning Catholic pre-K through 8th grade elementary school in the Diocese of Dallas. The school provides a Christ-centered learning environment that fosters each student to be a lifelong learner. Attend an open house to discover Mary Immaculate's amazing programs. Open houses are scheduled for Thursday, February 6th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. at Mary Immaculate School in Farmers Branch. To register, visit the school's website at mischool.org.
Cistercian Preparatory School is a 5th through 12th grade all-boys Catholic school located in Irving, Texas. Ranked the number one Catholic high school in the state by Niche.com, Cistercian offers an all-advanced honors curriculum and meets 100% of demonstrated financial need. The faculty includes 20 Cistercian monks. If your son is interested in a number one ranked Catholic education, applications are live. The deadline to apply is January 15th. For more information or to schedule a tour, visit school.cistercian.org or email admissions at cistercian.org. A sponsor of the GRN.
Are you suffering with grief due to the loss of a loved one? St. Monica Catholic Church in Dallas invites all those suffering such a loss to its grief support group on Wednesdays starting February 5th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. The grief support group meetings will be held once a week for 10 weeks at the parish. If you'd like more information, please call the parish office at 214-358-1453 for more information. Their website is stmonicachurch.org. Don't lose faith. Jesus loves you.
Do you wonder who decides if your flight is on time, delayed, or canceled, calculates weight and balance, or plans your route of flight? Aircraft dispatchers are responsible for these decisions and more. My wife and I operate Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center in Farmers Branch, where you can earn your FAA Aircraft Dispatcher Certificate. We attend Mass at St. Anne's Church in Coppell and are blessed to be sponsors of the GRN. For more, you can find us at addtcdallas.com.
All right, we are back, and this is the Good News Show. It is January 6th. It is the Feast of the Epiphany officially, but with yesterday being Sunday, I think most parishes, including mine, celebrated the Epiphany yesterday, but we did the whole chalk thing and, you know, with the CM 2025 on the top of our doors and all that. So anyways, happy Epiphany to you. And as I mentioned, so happy that I have in studio with me, thanks to the good folks of the Catholic Foundation, Bill Kula in particular, the Director of Communication and Marketing there, Hank Herman, who is the recipient of the 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Award Dinner. The dinner will be at the Anatole Dallas Hotel on Saturday, February 22nd, and he is in studio with Bill Kula, and also their new communication specialist, Avery Barham, is here as well. I promised her I wouldn't get her on the air, but she's a Texas A&M grad from last year, and she has started working at the Catholic Foundation in the communication department, and I must say, working under one of the best. Bill Kula is just absolutely phenomenal at what he does. And so let me, first of all, welcome you and congratulate you, Hank, and thanks for taking time to be in the studio today.
Thank you.
And, you know, I told Bill when he told me who the winner was, I said, you know what, when I started in Catholic radio back in 2006, Hank Herman was one of the first people that I got to know because we would just always seem to be running into each other. And it's just, you're a name and a face that I can go way back to the beginning. And so I know you've been very involved in the Catholic community, especially with St. Vincent de Paul for so many years. So I'm so glad that, that you're going to be honored and happy to talk to you about this as well. Let me just give a little bit more information about Hank Herman, and then we'll get into the questions. As I mentioned, he's going to be honored with the Catholic Foundation Award at the 42nd Catholic Foundation Dinner on February 22nd. It's going to be at the Anatole Hotel in Dallas. And like I said, I am planning on being there. And if you would like to go, CatholicFoundation.com is the website, and you can also call 972-661-9792. They're expecting 1,000 people, okay? 1,000 people to be there, and it's a really great event. So a little bit of information about Hank. He is a lifelong Texan. He was born in Ennis and raised in Dallas. He attended several of the city's Catholic schools, which instilled him in a deep devotion for his faith. And after being inspired by a conversation with his sister and mentor, LeClaire, Hank was called to serve and made a commitment to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and has remained in that level and steadfast with that organization for decades. His volunteerism is focused on helping the poor, which led him to establish and serve as president of the St. Vincent de Paul Conference at Christ the King Catholic Church, and he was elected president of the St. Vincent de Paul Council of North Texas in 2002. He also is instrumental in beginning the St. Vincent de Paul Pharmacy, the first of its kind in Texas, a charitable pharmacy providing free prescription medication to lower-income individuals lacking health care insurance coverage. And his tenacity was the key in the pharmacy overcoming legal and financial obstacles to open in 2018. And this is amazing. As of June 2024, the pharmacy has served over 7,000 patients and filled out more than 324,000 prescriptions. Wow. What an amazing legacy. So again, congratulations, Hank. And what were your thoughts when, and how did you find out that you were going to be the recipient of the award this year?
Well, I was invited to lunch.
Matt Kramer?
Yeah. Matt Kramer.
Okay.
Dan Odom, and I was very surprised with the information they gave me. I was very humbled by the experience. I really don't feel particularly deserving of this great honor, but I am happy that it might bring some attention to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and particularly the St. Vincent de Paul Pharmacy.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned in your bio about having attended a number of Catholic schools. You're very involved in Christ the King Parish. In fact, I think you're a daily communicant, if Bill mentioned as well. Talk about your Catholic faith, especially your Catholic school education, and how that helped to form you into who you are today.
Well, I had the good fortune of being part of a very Catholic family, and it just seemed to put me on a path that I've not strayed from my childhood. But until my mid-50s, I had not done a great deal more than attend Sunday Mass on Holy Days of Obligation. But that really all changed through conversations with my sister LeClaire. We had a conversation. I told her I was happy with my life. She thought that was great, but she asked me if I had thanked God for my blessings, asked me if I had asked him what I should do in return for those blessings. And that conversation really changed the direction of my life from one of pursuit of material goods, self-involvement, to one of service to others. So it was a significant event and has put me on the path which led to my involvement with St. Vincent de Paul, led to the creation of the pharmacy.
Just goes to show you, sometimes a lot can come out of one conversation, can't it? And I also, as a person personally in the upper end of my mid-50s, it's so, when Bill and I were talking about this on the phone last week, it's so hopeful for people that may not be spring chicken and in their 20s, like some of us, to know that we can begin things even when we're in our 50s. That can be the beginning of decades of service. And so I'm very encouraged by that as well. Maybe that's one of the messages that's going to come out at the event. But and I understand your sister will be there. Is that right? Will she be present?
She will be there.
Okay.
Yes.
And she's the instigator of all this, right? I also hear that you have a interesting story about your wife of 58 years, Margaret, about how you met. Can you tell us about your wife, the story about how you all met?
Okay, so my wife Margaret and I have been married for 58 years. We met when we were both students at the University of North Texas. We were attending Sunday Mass at the same time. So after Mass in the parking lot, she asked me if I could give her and her dorm mates a ride back to campus. So if you were to ask Margaret how we met, she would say we met at church.
You must have looked very safe and honest yes. for them to just picking some random guy. I'm sure they may perhaps she had her eye on you. I don't know.
So you ask Margaret. Her answer is we met at church. My answer is I picked her up hitchhiking.
Yeah. Those are two very different answers, aren't you? You were like the Uber driver before Uber was around, right? And that might be a third way of putting it. So that is awesome. I'm sure that story is going to come out. This is just a preview of all that people are going to be able to hear. And I will say, I love the Catholic Foundation event because they'll show a video and you really get to know the recipient of these awards. I've been to most of these events, at least the last 20 years, and they're just so much fun. They're so much fun. And I thoroughly enjoy it every year. It's going to be February 22nd, Saturday evening at the Anatole Hotel. And again, Hank Herman is going to be the recipient of the Catholic Foundation Award. We talked about how your sisters kind of challenged you a bit. And once she challenged you to do more than, you know, the minimum of going to Mass on Sunday and living a good life and, like you said, pursuing, you know, the material goods. Why St. Vincent de Paul? Of all the things that you could have done, why were you attracted to that particular ministry?
Well, what I know from reading Scripture is that the poor has a special place in God's kingdom. So my sister suggested that I get more familiar with the Bible to kind of start me on my path of determining what God's answer might be. I was very puzzled by the challenge. How would I know that God is telling me what to do?
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, "You will know."
Yeah.
And I believed her. I was reading Matthew's gospel, and the chapter 25, the judgment of nations, just turned out to be God's answer.
Yeah.
Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, whatever you do for the least brethren, you did for me.
Yeah.
As I read those words, it was just took my breath away. Without question, that was God's answer.
Yeah.
I became acquainted with the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Shortly thereafter, joined the Holy Trinity Conference for a year, and then we were able to start a St. Vincent de Paul Conference at Christ the King. And the rest is...
Mm-hmm. I've had an opportunity to interview Luis Gonzalez a number of times, yes. CEO, president of the St. Vincent de Paul for the Society for the Diocese of Dallas, and also local conference leaders. And I know it's broad, and I'm sure you would like it to even be bigger in the Diocese of Dallas, and maybe some of that will come out of this event in February. But what is the organizational structure, and what are the conferences, and what's kind of the day-to-day, week-to-week activities of people who are volunteering for St. Vincent de Paul?
Right. So the role of the council, what Luis Gonzalez and his associates at the council are doing is help train people to be members of conferences,
mm-hmm.
Provide resources, but also to create and manage special works programs such as the St. Vincent de Paul Pharmacy. The heart and soul of the mission, though, are the 800 volunteers in 39 conferences in the Diocese of Dallas who are endeavoring to live their faith by serving others. Essentially, we're trying to grow in holiness through service to our neighbors in need.
Yeah. And you mentioned Matthew 25, and that is a real gut check chapter of the Bible. And I know it had a big impact on you because this wasn't Jesus just saying, hey, it'd be nice if you'd help the poor. He's actually tying in our eternal salvation to whether or not we do that. And I love a group like St. Vincent de Paul because people may not, that you think like, well, what am I going to do? What do I walk around and just give stuff to the homeless? But this gives it a very, it's a format. It's something that's time tested. It's something that you join and then you don't have to do the creative work. It's already being done. And St. Vincent de Paul will let you show you how to do those corporal works of mercy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's, you mentioned the charitable pharmacy. Can you bring us back to how, when and how that started and what was your involvement in its origin?
Well, I think, when you interviewed me almost 20 years ago, we talked about the idea of the pharmacy at that time. We developed a business plan, sought funding for the pharmacy back in, say, 2009. And in the aftermath of the financial crisis of 2008, funding just wasn't there. So very disappointed, but kind of put the idea on the shelf. Then in 2015, Joe Minogue, who was the president of the council at the time, said, hey, Hank, we want to start a charitable pharmacy. We have funding. Could you help out? And so
he said, yes. I've been waiting years to do this. Yeah, yes. Of course I will. Yeah.
So in any event, in 2018, the pharmacy actually opened. And as you indicated, most recently, our number of people served are more than 8,000. And the real intrigue of the pharmacy is that a licensed charitable pharmacy can have access to pharmacy programs where we receive literally millions of dollars of donated prescription medications, which we can dispense to uninsured individuals who don't have the financial wherewithal to purchase their medications. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And there's a physical pharmacy. Is it what's the location of it?
It's on Pineland, close to Presbyterian Hospital, Dallas.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Hank Herman is my guest. We're down to our last about 5 minutes or so of this good news program here on the Epiphany. And Hank is going to be the recipient of the 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Award at their dinner at the Anatole Hotel in Dallas on I-35, Saturday, February 22nd. You can visit CatholicFoundation.com. to get your tickets and learn more about Hank and the foundation. You can also call them 972-661-9792. They're expecting about 1,000 people to be at this event. And I've mentioned a couple of times, I thoroughly enjoy these events. what are you, who's coming? Do you can, I know you have two children, three grandchildren, or is your family coming? What are your thoughts about this event? Because this is a big deal. You strike me as a low key guy who's going to be up on the stage with 1,000 people applauding you. What do you think as you approach this event personally?
Well, you know, I hope that the Holy Spirit allows me to effectively communicate my story in such a way that it might inspire some people in the audience to create their own story.
Yeah. And, you know, this, as we mentioned, this story started with the advice and a little bit of advice from your sister, LeClaire. You've probably doled out some advice in your life to your own children and grandchildren. What would you say to people listening right now, the advice that you've learned through the years of your life?
Well, I would basically say be true to yourself. Find something outside of your own self that can, through your service, provide you with so much more satisfaction than material pursuits could give you.
Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a call to action in your remarks? Because you're going to be able to give a little presentation to 1,000 of your closest friends right that night on February 22nd. Are you going to be encouraging people to be more involved or give specifically in St. Vincent de Paul? Or what do you plan on saying?
Well, St. Vincent de Paul would be ideal in my own personal framework, but find something that resonates with your soul, whatever that might be. But yes, I will be talking about membership in the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and the benefits that could be there for you.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again. I'm looking forward to the event. And I think another thing I remember meeting you, and you mentioned that we did that interview almost 20 years ago. And you also talked about how this pharmacy idea didn't happen right off the bat. And so there's also a lesson of perseverance there, right? If you have an idea and you know it's a good idea, sometimes God's going to make you wait a little bit before it comes to fruition, right?
Yeah, I actually put it into God's hands, not really thinking that he particularly enjoys working with older people like Noah, Abraham, Moses. So first time around, I just wasn't old enough.
Yeah. Eventually you were.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, Hank. Congratulations. Looking forward to being at the event. Again, just invite everybody to go to the website, catholicfoundation.com. We have worked really closely with the Catholic Foundation for so many years. In fact, I tell the story sometimes of one of the very first calls I ever made when I was sitting at a desk with a phone and a computer, and I knew nobody. And somebody said, call the president of the Catholic Foundation. And I said, he won't talk to me. And not only did he talk to me, but he took me out to lunch. And that was such a big boost to at that time, it was Ed Schaffler. And so anyways, so we love the Catholic Foundation. Bill Kula, amazing work. Thank you very much for helping to set this up. And again, if you want to be at this event on Saturday evening, February 22nd, it is Saturday, right? Okay, yeah, Saturday evening, February 22nd, 42nd Annual Catholic Foundation Award at the Anatole Hotel. Go to catholicfoundation.com, catholicfoundation.com. My guest has been Hank Herman. And Hank, anything else you want to tell our audience before we close out the interview, or did we cover it all?
I think you did your usual thorough job.
And I know it's svdpdallas.org. Is that the right website? Okay. After doing this for so many years, I get a lot of these websites memorized.
And if you did a double slash and added the word pharmacy, it would take you straight to the pharmacy website.
svdpdallas.org/pharmacy. I'm so glad that you mentioned that as well. And so thank you so much. Congratulations. And thanks also to Cecil Anderson and also to our first guest as well, talking about the very important topic of human trafficking. And so, and also Avery Barham, thank you for being here as well, the newest member of the Catholic Foundation Communications Team. God bless you. And if you want to buy some raffle tickets or help us out, get in touch with us, Dave Palmer at grnonline.com. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
The Guadalupe Radio Network thanks Homeschool Connections for their support of Catholic Radio. They are an online Catholic course provider for grade school, middle, and high school age students. You can put your students in touch with Joseph Pierce, Gary Mashuda, Aaron M. Brown, and other such instructors of a variety of subjects such as theology and philosophy, math, English, history, and the languages. More information is available at homeschoolconnections.com. That's homeschoolconnections.com.
If you could personally help an abortion-bound mom choose life, would you do it? Say yes by participating in 40 Days for Life 365, a peaceful year-round prayer vigil in front of your local abortion facility. These vigils have empowered 25,000 abortion-vulnerable moms to choose life that we know of. Visit 40daysforlife.com to get involved. That's 40daysforlife.com.